Good morning. Man, it's good to be here and worship with you guys. And just so thankful that I got to drive over this morning. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my drive in a little bit. The drive from Abilene to Arlington is always a little bit of an adventure. And today, two of my really good DPS friends were out looking for me, but they mistook another car for me, and so they were talking to them on the side of the road instead of me. So that was exciting. Just saying. Good to be here. I want to talk about Jeremy's sermon last week, and actually, I just want to talk about Jeremy. Turn around so this can be behind your back. I love working with Jeremy, and you know, last week he talked about baptism, which is the way it sometimes works. I give Jeremy opportunities to say no, but I also always give him kind of stuff to talk about, and usually I give him one or two things, something that I really feel like I don't want to do that. And that was the case last week, talking about baptism. And I have all my life, though, you know, so I'm not done with it. You know what I mean? That'd be wrong, but I was just not wanting to do it. But I wanted it to be done. And wow, I listened to Jeremy. I think it was Monday morning, and because when I'm not here, I listen, but I don't listen on Sundays. So, and by the way, bam, thanks for the Unity Prayer Thoughts video, Mike. But that some of the things he made. I'm 69 years old. I've been listening to baptism sermons since I was about 2 weeks old, and it was just really blessing to me, really a blessing to me. And I really thank you for that. We have a handout today. Bradley's going to hand out a sheet that has the scripture we're going to be in today. Get after it, Bradley. Quit goofing around. You know, if you want. No, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Bradley and I are pretty good partners as well. And man, I need to start over because that got me going. One of the things we're going to do today is kind of back up to this song that we're singing. We're going to be in 1 Peter, that we sang Holy Water. If you have your own Bible, if you're watching this online, you don't get a handout. It's 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 2 Peter 2, verse 3. And that's what's on the handout. That's all there is, just Bible. If you've got your own Bible with you today, go ahead and use your own Bible as well. But Jeremy last week used the lyrics to this song we just sang, Holy Water, to kind of introduce what he said, I'm not remember where it was, but you know, you did it sometime during the sermon. I'm going to do the same thing to do today. There's so many phrases in this song that speak to what we've been talking about. And so it's, God, I'm on my knees again. I'm begging, please again. I need you. And man, I just think of our world right now. I am such a needy individual, but we are such a needy people as human beings. We need God. Walking down these desert roads, the song says, water for my thirsty soul, I need you, I need you. The next verse says, dead man walking, slave to sin, I want to know about being born again. And this is what really the whole song series is about. The idea that this is what we were, dead man walking, slave to sin, but now we're born again. And he says, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under. Baptize. I mean, that just, I see that's paints a picture in my mind, kind of actually, brothers, why art thou picture? But nevertheless, I see this baptism in the river. And then this part we're going to talk, jump off on today, this bridge. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that really makes me want to change. I've sung lots of songs about grace. That's an interesting take on what grace is about. Grace. I don't want to abuse it. Grace is not a get out of jail free card. Grace is not the idea that I can now sin. Like Paul says in Romans, I can just sin all I want to. He says, no, that's not right. But it makes me want to change. And today, the title of the sermon is God's grace. You know, this isn't the whole time, but God's grace leads me to baptism, leads me to being born of the Spirit, leads me to being a new man, a new woman. And we are born to grow, born to grow. And it is where we're going to get into this idea of born to grow. Before we get into the word, we're going to be in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Let's just pray first. God, let us hear your word today and open up our hearts and minds. Let us see our relationship with you. Increase our desire for you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Peter 13 is where your handout is. And I'm going to read a handout because just in case my Bible's different. Therefore, with minds that are fully alert, sober, fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So grace has already been brought to you when you were saved. But now he's talking about this other grace when Jesus returns. And would it be awesome if when we all walked out the building and right after Mike or Jeanette locked the door, Jesus returned? Say, would that be good? Even before you get to lunch, be all right. But this is the grace that is going to happen. And then he says, as obedient children, okay, this is for right now, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Thinking about being born, so we're thinking about ourselves as the newborn baby and as the toddler and as the person who finally got to go to kindergarten and then growing up, and we're still children. So we're thinking ourselves today as born into the water, born into the Spirit, and we're kids, God's kids, and we're obedient kids. So just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, because it's written, be holy, because I am holy. Come back to that maybe. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here or as exiles here in reverent fear. That means we're just passing through. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last days for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves, key thing, that's not the ones I underline, but nevertheless important, purified, by obeying the truth, you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. In my house, I have a photograph of my two sons when they're like 5 and 6 years old, and they're wearing I'm a Wildcat t-shirts, because, you know, ACU Wildcats, right? And they are the cutest boys ever in the history of 5 and 6 year old boys. And they just are. But right next to that picture sits this saying, love one another deeply. And one of the greatest joys in my life is that my two boys love each other deeply. Yeah, love from the heart. For you have been what? What?
Born again.
Born again. You know, John 3 is not the only place where it talks about being born again. You were born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You were born by this seed, which is the word of God. The word of God is in you. Now, the metaphor about seed, you might think is, well, in the message, I'm just going to go ahead and say it this way. In the message, Eugene Peterson translates that as sperm right off. You know, this is who you are. It's the seed, your DNA is God's DNA. Does that make, that's a little easier than that. But yeah, it's your DNA is God's DNA. That's who you are. You are born again because he said so. Because he said so. Because that's the kind of awesome God we are. He says it, it comes into being. You remember the creation story? Yeah, okay. God said, let there be light. And what happened? He says it, it is. By his word, you, process of being born again, you are born of his DNA. That's who you are. You're now his child. You're his child. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. It withers, it falls. But the word of God, word of the Lord, endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up. You may grow up into your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We're born of a perishable seed. That means our DNA is God's DNA. We're born and our seeds, like all seeds that are planted, but seeds that are born also are meant to grow and bear fruit. And so, you know, what is that fruit? You know, do you bear fruit? Well, I want to say, do you look like your family? Family portrait. How many of you, if you're standing with your brother or sister, you'd say, hey, y'all look alike? Yeah, I don't look so much like my sisters. But if you see a picture of my dad and me and my two sons, you think, quadruples. You know, triplets, you know, we look alike. This is what we do when we grow. We become more and more like Jesus. We bear his likeness. And so the way John says it in 1 John, this is good. He says, what great love the Father's lavished on us. This is 1 John 3, that we should be called children of God. This is the point. We got God's DNA. Children, we're his children, we're his sons, we're his daughters. And that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know it, didn't know him either. So friends, now that we are children of God, and what we'll be has not yet been made known, but we know this, that when Christ appears, we'll be like him. You know why? We share his DNA. We're gonna be like Jesus. And like Jesus, you know, in my family, you look all the dad, me, Glenn, Jason. First thing that strikes you, besides our just stunning good looks, is our hairstyle. We got that smooth hairstyle. Some people call it bald. I call it smooth. But the way we favor our DNA, Jesus, is the fruit that comes out of us is this, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience. This is the fruit our DNA is bearing as we grow up. And we're going to get to that next in just a minute about growing up. But we bear fruit. The next thing is sometimes we're pruned. And John talks about this idea of a plant being pruned. And it, you know, there's some parts of it that need not, you don't need to have. My dad did some pruning with this razor strap. Don't call the cops. I mean, you know, there's a statute of limitations on beating your son. But there was some pruning going on. Look, there's some things I wasn't supposed to do, and he wanted me to never do them again. And this was his way. And you, as you can see, it didn't, I mean, it worked. But there's some things that we need to let go of in the pruning. And so this is what 1 Peter 2 talks about on your handout there, right? 1 Peter 2. Rid yourselves of malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. Get rid of this stuff. I want to show you this. A guy showed me this the other day. I thought it was kind of cool. So, you know, this is coffee. And as Betty would tell you, it's not that good. Not like at her house. But say I wanted to exchange because, you know, coffee is not as good for me. Coffee, not as good for me as I used to think it was, even though I drink it a lot. So I'm trying to be more healthy, do better. And so I've decided I'm going to drink orange juice, right? So the way you do that, of course, if I'm going to switch from coffee to orange juice, I just, you know, pour me in some orange juice. And now I drink that. Wrong, right? That's not what you do. No. You got to pour that coffee out. You got to get rid of that coffee. And so he says, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy. Rid yourself of all that. And this is what it is to follow Jesus. It's to die to myself every day. It's to rid myself of the baggage that I had before I was born again. When I was a dead man walking, I was a slave to sin. I wasn't born again. And so when I'm born again, I rid myself of that so that God can fill me up with fruit. He fills me up with fruit. Joy, peace, love. I bear fruit. I become more and more like him. And so then he says, Paul, Peter's on a roll here. He says, next. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Man, if you've ever seen a hungry baby, what does a hungry baby do? When they're hungry, they want it. They crave it. As I've talked about over the last several weeks, I'm working with a group of drug addicts and alcoholics in Abilene. And man, they can talk about craving. It's not just I'm a little bit hungry. It's like, I've got to have some heroin or I'm going to die. That's in their head. And that's what God says. I want you to want me like that. I want you to crave. I don't want you to just be kind of mildly interested. Like, hey, you know, that sounds, nah, maybe later. Maybe I'll get some spiritual milk later. Like, no. I want you to crave. You're going to crave spiritual milk because that's how we grow. We grow from spiritual milk. And there comes a point where Paul's going to say later, says, after a while, it's not milk you want. You want to grow up even out of that. You want to have meat. But there's the nourishment that comes from God. And it's in his word that we be hungry for his word. Man, I can remember getting video games, not like now, okay, for video game players in the room. You know, when I played Mario or, you know, Mike Tyson Punch-Out, It was a whole different thing. But there was a while where I just wanted to play over and over and over and over. Have you ever been involved in something like that where you just want to do it, whatever it is? You know, I can't binge watch any kind of TV shows, but Mary Beth has led me astray. And every once in a while, you know, we'll just go for it. I'm like, I'm just doing this over and over and over and over and over. And what God says, no, crave pure spiritual milk, because that's what's going to help you grow up. Have you ever been told to grow up in that kind of snarky way? Grow up. Have you ever said that to somebody? If you're a parent, probably. Why are you going to grow up? And you're saying it to your spouse. You're not saying it to your kid. But grow up into your salvation. It's like you're saved. Now act like it. Grow up into it. It's exactly what Paul's saying in Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. No. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And then you're going to be able to test everything that's good, perfect. So this is what God is wanting for us as we're born again, that we're born into growing. And we crave spiritual milk, spiritual food. Now, how do you do that? I do it. One way I do it is in worship. So this morning coming over here, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my morning drive after we sing. And we're about ready to sing this song. So, you know, get your straps on, boys. You know, I drive over, and a few weeks ago, Mary Beth made a playlist for me on the iPod. And so, man, before I get to Clyde, which is about, well, it's about, should be about 15 minutes from my house, I'm on the playlist, and I listen to that playlist all the way here. It's spiritual, pure spiritual milk for me. Now, everybody's not like that, but I have a playlist of worship songs that just, I mean, they move me. And I'll get caught on one, and I'll tell you about that. Today I got caught on one, and I put it on repeat about, I don't know, probably Ranger. So I'm craving spiritual food, and I get it that way. Sometimes it's just in the Word of God. Sometimes it's talking to someone else about the Word of God. Man, I hope you have a partner who you can talk about. Hey, I read this. What does that mean to you? That somehow or another, our minds are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. I'm struggling with this behavior in my life. How can I help? How can you and me kind of work this together for my benefit? Or I can be a listener to you. All these ways, craving spiritual milk. Because at the end of the day, in our scripture, it says this. Well, that'd be one thing it'd say in 1 John, but we're talking about Peter. Hand out. When you have more than one piece of paper, grow up into your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. When you were born again, man, do you remember the moment you just were like, whoa, God is good. Now that we've tasted that, let's keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Because God is going to change you into way more than you can ask, think, or imagine. God is going to do something in your life. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may have been yesterday or last, but God is working on you to transform you, to grow up into your salvation so that you can live, like the song we're going to sing, in confidence every day, not in fear, but in confidence. Not because your circumstances dictate your feelings, but your faith transforms you. Because you're seeking God. All right, let's sing. Let's sing. I'm going to warn you now. The closing thought might be a minute or two, so sit down after this song, but it's all going to be good. A couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I talked, the title of the sermon was War. And we're talking about spiritual war, which is, I guarantee you, is way more intense and worldwide than the war I'm going to talk about for just a second. But I also told you about my friend, Tony Morrow. I met Tony when I was, when in 1988, I was moving to Abilene to be the dean of students. He helped me, though. Before that, one day I met him about 8 months before I moved to Abilene. I met him in Amarillo, where he's from. He helped me unload my truck. And then I met him 8 months later, and he was working for me. And we've gone through all of life, ups, downs, highs, lows. We both lost our job. And right now, the loss of our jobs helps us be right where we are, you know. I've been here for the last 5 years. You know why? ACU canned me. I'm still mad about that, but nevertheless, I'm happy to be with you. Well, Tony, today is in at the border of Ukraine and Poland. And we talked about him going for the last couple of weeks, and I was not for it, but I wasn't negative about him going. And so he's the one in the brown coat. And right now he's with a man who he coached basketball with in Kyiv, Ukraine. The basketball coach is married to a Ukrainian, and he is, they left about 3 weeks ago and have found an apartment in Bochnia near the Polish border. I mean, Polish-Ukrainian border. And as you know, refugees are piling in to Poland, and that's where Tony is. He's taken quite a bit of money over there to find a place that's taking care of people, and he's going to give that money to them, and he's going to be there. He told me he'd be there a week or maybe a month, and you know, his wife is there too. They spent 5 years with the kids in who are orphan graduates. Those orphan graduates, their house is in a small village about 10 miles out of Kyiv. And in the last 2 weeks, they decided to stay at their house. They didn't know where they'd go in Poland, so they decided to stay there. I have pictures from them. They've sent pictures. The new director, she's about 26 years old, and her husband is in the Ukrainian military serving in the city of Kyiv. And she's with about 20 kids. When I say kids, they're 20-ish. But they graduated from an orphanage at 16, and then they've moved in and been with Tony since then. This is a statement about discipleship. They've sent pictures several days in a row, and they have the house with Tony and the kids built themselves with their own hands. They have about 30 people live there. But they're in a storm shelter now. And the pictures are them praying, and then they read. Because this is what Tony trained them to do. Every morning, we come together, we eat breakfast together, and then they spend about an hour reading the Bible and praying. And then they go to school or work. So they're in a storm shelter, and what are they doing? They're praying and they're reading. And they're reading scripture from everywhere in the Bible. But they're reading some from Joshua, be strong and courageous. Some from Deuteronomy, your enemies will flee before you. But also from Matthew, pray for those who persecute you. I'm so proud of him, not for this, because I told him he shouldn't do it. I didn't want him to go. But I'm proud of him for discipling those kids, that in his absence, they still do what they know to do. We're praying for them to find a way to get to to that's country of Poland. And it's about, on a normal day, it's about a 5.5 hour drive for them. So knowing it's not a normal day, you know it's going to be lots worse. But as I drove over today, I texted Tony this, and this is my prayer for everybody that's dealing with it. I said this was my prayer to him on the day he was on the airplane to Frankfurt and then to Krakow, Poland. I said, it's hard to imagine that you're not over in your house on Edgewood and here in Abilene, drinking coffee and reading and praying. It's hard to imagine what you will encounter in the next several hours. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is much more powerful than flesh and blood. And our enemy uses fear and pride and hatred to take us down. But the spirit in us is stronger than the evil of this world. And while in some ways you're not prepared for what you might encounter, you are prepared with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. I pray the Holy Spirit gives you every bit of armor that you need and that he will fill you with love and his wisdom and his courage. I pray that your God-given peace will overflow as you encourage the people you meet. That's what I prayed, and that's what happened about 18 hours later. So he's praying with a man who he's giving some food to, who's coming in from Ukraine. I said, you are God's minister of reconciliation, and you will strengthen the weak and lift up the fearful. You will bring hope and faith, and above all, love. Here's what I say about this to you. That's who we are too. And while Tony is praying with a man he doesn't know, who's walked over from Ukraine, that's exactly what happened to Betty at TJ Maxx. A woman walked up to her she didn't know and prayed for her. And that's who we are. Not that we're going to go out to all the restaurants we eat at today and pray for the staff, even though, hey, have we done that? Has our church prayed for waitresses and waiters? And yeah, we've done that. But we're going to leave here dressed in the armor of God. And we got a good story to tell. It's about a God who loves us. It's a God who loves us and who is on our side and is taking care of us. And eventually, by the way, is taking us home. So as we do the most important thing we do every week, we're going to go leave. And as we go leave, we'll do what Tony's doing. In the name of that, Poland, thank you. Poland, we'll do that in Arlington. Or I'll do it on the way back. I'll stop at Weatherford for gas. And so who knows what God might be preparing for you today to share the gospel of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go do it. Hey, by the way, anybody who wants this,